Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Olympic athletes, high-level officials, and other people have been arriving in Rio de Janeiro for the opening of the 2016 Summer Games. The opening ceremony is Friday night, local time, but some events already started. The first medals will be awarded on Saturday. The Rio Olympics officially began on Friday when the Olympic torch is carried into Maracanã Stadium to light the Olympic cauldron. The cauldron will stay lit for over 2 weeks until the closing ceremony on August 21st. During that period, 301 gold medals will be awarded to the winners. At the last Summer Olympics, the 2012 London Games, the United States won 46 gold medals and 104 medals in all. China was second with 38 gold medals and a total of 88. Britain finished in third place, with Russia in fourth. One major question this year is, how many medals will Russia win at the Rio Games? Just before the Olympics started, the International Olympic Committee considered banning every member of Russia's team because of a doping scandal. Investigators for the World Anti-Doping Agency found evidence of Russian athletes using unapproved substances at the 2014 Winter Olympics in Sochi. And the agency accused the Russian government of being involved and covering up the activity. But in the end, the IOC decided not to ban all 387 Russian qualifiers for the Rio Games. Many Russian athletes will have a chance to compete. But most of the country's track and field athletes were banned by the International Association of Athletics Federation. At a meeting in Rio this week, WADA and the IOC criticized each other. WADA officials said the IOC should have banned all the Russian Olympians. The IOC said WADA should have acted faster on the allegations of Russian cheating. More than 10,000 men and women from over 200 nations will compete at Rio de Janeiro. The first medals in men's cycling and women's shooting will be awarded on Saturday.
South Korean and U.S. military officials say North Korea carried out a ballistic missile test early Wednesday. U.S. officials say two missiles were launched. One was successful. The other missile reportedly exploded immediately after launch. The test is the fourth such missile launch in recent weeks. Although North Korea faces strong international restrictions linked to the activity. The United Nations, South Korea, and the U.S. have placed economic and trade sanctions on North Korea because of its nuclear and missile programs. In addition, the U.S. has placed sanctions on North Korean officials, including leader Kim Jong-un, for human rights abuses. The launch Wednesday took place from the country's western Huanghe province. One missile traveled about 1,000 kilometers to the east before landing close to or in Japanese waters. Japan's prime minister called the launch a grave threat to his country's security. Japan's defense ministry said the missile fell into the sea inside the country's exclusive economic zone. The United States condemned the launch as a possible threat to U.S. interests in the area Wednesday. State Department spokeswoman Anna Ritchie Allen said, "We remain prepared to work with our allies and partners around the world to respond to further DPRK provocations, as well as to defend ourselves and our allies from any attack or provocation." UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said he was deeply troubled by the test. A UN spokesman urged North Korea to reverse its course and return to the process of sincere dialogue. The launch comes after South Korea and the United States announced the deployment of a U.S.-made missile defense system known as THAAD. North Korea is said to be seeking to develop a warhead small enough to be placed on a ballistic missile. South Korean defense officials say North Korea does not have the technical ability to do this yet. The latest missile tests also come as the U.S. and South Korea prepare to hold additional military exercises in the area this month. North Korea denounced the training as provocative and preparation for an invasion. I'm Mario Ritter.
An international free trade agreement has become an important issue in the American presidential election. The agreement appears to be a big issue in what political watchers consider swing states. These are states that move from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party, or back the other way, from one election to the next. The trade agreement is called TPP, short for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Officials from 12 countries negotiated the treaty. Those countries control 40% of the world economy. Supporters of the TPP believe it would increase trade among the 12 nations. They believe this would increase the world's economic growth. Opponents believe it would mostly help large companies and send jobs to countries where wages are low. Both Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton and her Republican opponent Donald Trump oppose the trade agreement. Senator Bernie Sanders, who sought to become the Democrats' presidential nominee, also opposes the TPP. Last week, Sanders' supporters said the agreement is an example of the way government policies have ignored American workers. His supporters demonstrated against the TPP at the Democratic Party's National Convention in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Guy Anthony is a retired machinist and labor union organizer from Pennsylvania. He calls the agreement an absolute disaster. "It's bad for working people," he said. Anthony was a delegate to the convention. Pennsylvania is on the eastern edge of what is often called the Rust Belt, a region where manufacturing is especially important to the economy. The Rust Belt has lost many jobs to factories in other countries. Voters in many of the states could play an important role in deciding the presidential election in November. For the last 20 years, most people in Rust Belt states have voted for Democratic candidates. In 2012, five of the states, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Iowa, voted for President Barack Obama, a Democrat. But this year, in part because of his strong opposition to the TPP and other trade agreements, many people in the Rust Belt are supporting Donald Trump. Public opinion surveys show Trump has almost as much support throughout the Rust Belt as Hillary Clinton. In some states, he has more. If Trump wins some or all of the states, he could become the next president. One of the most important swing states in the Rust Belt is Ohio. Dennis Kucinich was a member of the U.S. House of Representatives from the state. He is a Democrat and a former presidential candidate. He has opposed free trade agreements for many years. He told VOA that the agreements are among the reasons voters in the state support Trump. He said workers have been sold out by both political parties. Trade agreements have cost this country millions of jobs, lowered the standard of living, knocked down wages, cut benefits, and reduced pensions, he said. Voters in the Rust Belt may also be supporting Trump because of Clinton's support for earlier trade agreements. Her husband, former President Bill Clinton, signed the North American Free Trade Agreement in 1993. Some experts have blamed the agreement for a loss of jobs. Some observers believe if Hillary Clinton becomes president, she will change her opposition to the TPP. They note that when she was Secretary of State, she helped write the agreement. Then, when she began running for president, she announced her opposition to it. Susan Hall is a Sanders delegate from Pennsylvania. I'm pretty confident she'll flip her position back on it if she becomes president, Hall said. Clinton representatives say she will not change her position. They note that the TPP does not meet her demands for protecting American workers. But Trump believes Clinton is only temporarily opposed to the deal. "We all know what is going to happen if she wins the presidency," he told reporters last week. But even though many politicians and reporters are talking about the TPP, surveys show that many Americans do not even know what it is. Earlier this year, one study showed 72% of Americans either had not heard of the agreement or had not heard much about it. Charlie Ballard teaches economics and organizes opinion surveys at Michigan State University. "I'll bet if we asked a sample of people what the TPP is, a lot would say, toilet paper something," he said. Before the election, many Americans did not know what the TPP was. Ballard said, "I think it probably still isn't well known, even when it is being discussed during the campaign." Gary Hawley of Wisconsin was a delegate to the Democratic Convention. He is a retired carpenter and union member. He says many people in his state may not believe the TPP is an important issue. "I don't think people know enough about the TPP. And you've got to know about something before you can agree or disagree with it," he said. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
A bus powered by the sun's energy has made its public debut. Kira Motors Corporation demonstrated the new electric bus recently at a sports center in the Ugandan capital, Kampala. Company officials claim it is the first solar-powered bus in Africa. Kira Motors is calling the new vehicle Kayola. It has solar panels on top and seats for 35 passengers. The company hopes the Kayola will become the first public buses in Africa to operate on solar power. Mario Obua was the chief engineer of the project. He says the bus's engines are completely silent.
With this bus, there's actually no engine. What is driving the bus is a motor, a traction motor, which has been run by a battery. And the battery banks are the ones that are linked to the solar system that's on the roof. So we have the batteries that are driving the motor, and that gives us a full range of 8 kilometers on full charge. And then the solar panels come in to supplement the extra, you know, mileage. So it adds an extra 12 kilometers to the total.
The Kayola bus can be recharged with solar power or by connecting to an electric power source. Best of all, it does not release carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. Studies have linked the gas to rising temperatures on Earth's surface. Abua says the solar-powered buses will cut down on pollution. He thinks they will also help save money on fuel by depending 100% on sunlight. While the Kayola bus operates on battery power, its engineers say that it is just as powerful as a normal bus. Ugandan officials like the idea of solar-powered buses. They believe that such vehicles could help solve Kampala's traffic problems because it will give people more choices. The prototype model of the Kayola shown to reporters in Kampala had an estimated cost of more than $140,000. If this model can be mass-produced, the price will drop and it will sell for around $55,000 each. Kira Motors has yet to say when it will begin selling the Kayola bus. I'm Mernush Karimian Ainsworth.
This is What's Trending Today. The American singer and songwriter Modest Yahoo is from New York City. On a recent trip to Hawaii for a show, he found a street musician who was singing his song one day. Modest Yahoo is Jewish and was once a Hasidic Jew. Men who are Hasidic Jews wear simple black and white clothing. They also let hair grow on their face. As a result, Hasidic men have beards. But in recent years, Modest Yahoo cut off his beard and colored his dark hair blonde. He also started wearing more colorful clothing. The street musician did not realize the songwriter was standing nearby when he started playing One Day. music producer Stu Brooks, who plays guitar, was with Modest Yahoo at the time. He recorded the performance on his phone camera and posted it to Facebook. The video has over 1 million views since July 31st. One person who commented on the video said, "This is beyond amazing. So happy to live on a planet where that moment is possible." It turns out the singer's name is Clint Alama, and Modest Yahoo invited him to a show later that night. And that's What's Trending Today. I'm Dan Friedel.
And is this your smile? Or is that sunlight through the trees? Was that your sigh? Or just a gentle breeze?
That is the voice of singer and songwriter B.B. Winans. His birth name is Benjamin, but he is known to all as B.B. B.B. comes from a large Christian family. His parents, Dolores and David Winans, raised 7 sons and 3 daughters. Winans says music, God, and family were the foundation of his upbringing.
Growing up in the family I grew up in evolved around music. It evolved around God, and it evolved around family. When we went to church, it was family. And it is the main foundation I think I've had since I left home, since I left Detroit, Michigan.
At the age of 17, B.B. and his 15-year-old sister, Priscilla, called Cece, left home for Pineville, North Carolina. They began their professional music careers as background singers on the popular Christian television show, PTL Club. PTL stood for Praise the Lord. Winans says the host of the show, Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, treated him and his sister as family. While there, the siblings recorded their first album, Lord Lift Us Up, for PTL Records. In 1987, the Winans left PTL Club. That same year, they released their first album, B.B. and Cece Winans. The mainstream album gave them their first R&B hit, I Owe You Me. The brother and sister recorded 5 albums together. In 1995, they decided to seek individual careers. As a lyricist, B.B. Winans says he always knew he could express his spirituality in any song, be it gospel or contemporary.
I think what separated me in my writing with others is that I felt that I could talk about what God meant to me in every area of my life, in my relationships, in my family, in my work, in everything, in play, and in every aspect of my life. So I was moved by songs that wasn't in the gospel category all my life. So coming back home and Love Said Not So and Lost Without You and In the Meantime, you know, all those songs is reflective of my life.
Easy to see. there's no letting go.
B.B. Winans has several solo albums and 6 Grammy Awards. He also has written and produced hit songs for others, and he is an actor and author. His latest professional undertaking is a musical about his life. Winans and family friend and director Charles Randolph Wright together wrote Born for This, the B.B. Winans story. The artist says it all began with a phone conversation with the singer-songwriter Roberta Flack.
The musical started with a phone call, and that was a phone call with Roberta Flack. And we were talking about everything other than the musical. And right in the middle of the conversation, she detoured and said, B.B., when are you going to write that musical about you and your family? It's an American musical. It's a story. It's a film after that. And 4 days later, I'm at a hotel in Montreal. I walk in, and I open up my laptop, and it was like a faucet came on. And right then and there, I wrote the first draft of what now is Born for This.
B.B. says Born for This explores his and his sister's personal and musical journey.
It talks about coming of age of 2 young African Americans being thrust from a childhood up until that point of predominantly a black situation and then thrust into a world that was predominantly a white situation. And so we endured racism, we endured a lot of things, but just a cultural shock, you know, different worlds, you know. It talks about finding myself, what's true about God and what's not true, what's philosophy and what's laws and what's reality. So it's a journey in how music played a very important part in that journey.
The actors who play B.B. and C.C. Winans in Born for This know their subjects pretty well. That is because they are Winans themselves. B.B. is happy about the family connection.
It's been an absolute joy to see my niece Deborah Joy and my nephew Juan, who are brother and sister, playing a brother and sister who happens to be their uncle and aunt. It's hard to put in words how I feel when I see them, knowing, just like my parents knew, there was some talent that they saw in us, so they nurture that talent. I saw that talent in Juan and Joy when they were knee high. Now to see them, especially doing rehearsals, it was funny to see how they learned a lot more about their aunt and uncle and what we went through when we were their age and even younger. And so every time I see him on stage, I'm just tickled, if I can say that.
The musical celebrated its world premiere on April 23rd at the Alliance Theater in Atlanta, Georgia. Now it has made its way to Washington, D.C. for performances at the Arena Stage. I'm Marcia James.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.